Well, here we go. Who's been to every service from the start of the conference right through this weekend? You are amazing. Well done. Well done. And let's believe tonight is just going to be a night where God just caps it. He just seals it. He puts his favor upon it. And I want to join with others that have thanked the men and women and the incredible people that have put on Inspire 08. It has been sensational. It's been a privilege to be here. And, I'm very, very excited about what God is doing here and what he's about to do. And, both in the lives of Pastor Nick and Karen, I know that God has got great plans for them. And it's just an exciting and radical new day. And I honor them for stepping out of the boat and just getting out in faith. And Sheridan, Jan, look out. Pretty cool, hey? Pretty cool. You're not taking over a half-bad church, boy. Look out. Are you excited? Hoo-ah! Hey, listen, there's hardly any teaching material outside, and so what I decided, I just don't want to take any home. And I told the team out there, just as we walked in, we put some red stars on some. I talked about this. In fact, I actually shared part of one of these messages when I was here last year on authority. Every young man and woman that actually wants to do something significant for their life, I recommend it. It's part of the Great Commission, but we always talk about go into all the world and preach the gospel. But before Jesus said that, the verse before he said, is all authority is mine. In other words, don't go until you get authority. And when you understand that, you go with safety, covering, favor, and blessing. That's out there. Now, I've put a red dot, or the girls did, red star on it. It means it's half price, which, $10. And icing on the cake, I haven't talked about that, and yet that was really the theme of ministry for the year at Brisbane City Church. Psalm 62 says, you crown the year with goodness, and our paths drip with abundance. And just if that whole idea of stepping into blessing is something you want, then they're out there. In fact, if you buy any of the others, which is there's hardly any of them left, but if you buy any of the others, your choice, you can either buy these outright half price, or you can have, if you buy the others, you get them for free. I just don't want to take any home. I'd rather they were playing in your car than sitting in my bag. Cool? Wonderful. If I could sing like Nick, I'd just take off right now. But I won't, so we'll preach. Did you hear about the duck? This duck could speak. Yeah, I'm telling you. It was an amazing duck. An Aussie duck. More than a conqueror. I'll tell the jokes if you don't mind. This duck walked into a grocery store, walked up to the counter and said to the owner, could I please have some fresh fruit and vegetables? The owner was completely shocked to see a duck that could speak. He said, well, no, I'm sorry, my little friend, but everything here is either canned or frozen. The duck said, that's a pity, and walked out. Next day, same store, same duck. The owner's very surprised to see him back. He said, what do you want? He said, I want fresh fruit and vegetables. And the owner said, look, I'm sorry, there must be some mistake. I actually told you yesterday that everything here is either canned or frozen. The duck just shook his head and walked out. To his utter surprise, day three, same duck, same store. By this time, the storekeeper's getting a little frustrated. He says, what do you want? He said, I want fresh fruit and vegetables. And the store owner said, listen here, buddy. I told you day one. I told you day two. And I'm telling you now, everything in this store is either canned or frozen. Now, I tell you, I'm going to make you a promise. If you return here tomorrow, I'm going to take your little flat foot and I'm going to nail it to the floor. Duck just stared him down and walked out backwards. Guess what? Day four. Same duck, same store. The owner sees him. He says, what do you want? He looked him square in the eye and he said, "Do you have any nails?" The owner said, "No." He said, "Then I want fresh fruit and vegetables." In the 1980s, they told us we could have anything we want. Anything you want, go for it. Anything. The trouble is, most of us didn't know what we want. Tonight I want to talk to you about the power of desire. Very much in line with the theme of this conference, imagine. Imagine what do you want? Lots and lots of people set goals, and you can go to business seminars and conferences and they'll tell you how to set goals. I'm not talking to you about setting goals. Goals are an external thing. I'm talking to you about the inner drives of your life. Desires are far more powerful. They're personal, they're internal. A goal you can put on a wall, but a desire is what burns within. We Aussies play a strange brand of football. It's where tall men put on tight shorts. They have a game called Aussie Rules, the AFL. I'm from the city of Brisbane, which in 2001, 2 and 3, and almost in 2004, we won the national flag. Our coach is a man called Lee Matthews. Somewhat through those seasons when we were winning all those premierships, there was a major celebration where they actually picked the team of the century and the player of the century. Brisbane's coach, Lee Matthews, was voted the greatest player of all time. The day after the vote, one of the reporters from our local newspaper went to him and sat with him and said, "Lee Matthews, you have just been voted the greatest player of all time. That's an incredible privilege." He said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Could you tell me, when you were 10 years of age, what did you want to be?" Do you know what he said? "I wanted to be the greatest player of all time." Desire. Proverbs chapter 29, the 18th verse. Says, where there is no vision, people perish. Now, there's all sorts of versions of that and all sorts of expressions of that, but the word vision, where there is no vision, it means where there's no revelation, where there's no insight, where there's no prophetic understanding. People perish. They cast off restraint and they dwell carelessly. When you don't have an internal compass, when your inner man doesn't know where he's going to go, any road will get you where you want to go when you don't know where you're going. Where there's no revelation, where there's no prophetic insight. Now, the minute I say that, people begin to switch off because they say, "You know what, I've been in meeting after meeting. I've sat in the meetings when the prophets came and I wore the loudest shirt in the building and the prophet still didn't pick me up. He didn't lay his hands on me and say, yay. The Lord would say, yay, and prophesy. I've never sat in those meetings. I've never been picked out." Some of you know what it means to be reading your Bible and all of a sudden a verse leaps off the page and all of a sudden your future makes sense. Some of you know that. Others of you sat in a meeting when somebody's standing with a microphone's preaching and that's almost like a throwaway line, but it's like the whole room emptied and the man or woman was speaking to you. You know what that's like. Others of you have all but heard the audible voice of God, that vision, that prophetic insight. I've had that. The night God filled me with the Holy Spirit, I was at home on my own, and I'm so grateful nobody even laid hands on me the night God filled me with His power. I was a cynical preacher's kid that didn't need anybody yelling in my ear and speaking in tongues and doing all that sort of stuff. I needed to engage with God myself. And that night, God gave me a new prayer language. He filled me with His power, but He also showed me something that I've lived out the last 30 years of my life. But some of you have never had that. Never. You haven't had prophecies. You haven't had visions. You haven't had verses leap off a page. So how do you know what God wants you to do with your life? Will you answer this question? Here it is. If you could do anything with your life, what would it be? Ah, right now, excuses come. Shut them down. If you could do anything with the rest of your life, what would it be? You see, that answer, that real answer, is desire. Is desire. It's a roadmap. It's a compass. Now, let me tell you something. Your life goes real fast. James says your life's like a vapor. It's like steam that comes out of a kettle. Here you see it, now you don't. It's there, it's gone. Life flies by. We just had, just the other week, we had my oldest son's 21st birthday, and I think, good Lord, I remember the day you were born. It feels like yesterday. And now he's just about to graduate from university. He's going to do certain things overseas, and before you know it, he's married and he's gone, and he's my age. Life goes really, really fast. So we've got to be people that actually start owning the responsibility for starting to actually be people that take the responsibility for living out a meaningful life. What's the key? Desire. Desire. Desire is the imprint of God on your life that shows you your potential and the possibilities of the years that you have at your disposal. Desire. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, one of my favorite verses. He says, we are God's workmanship. How good is this? We are God's workmanship. We didn't just happen. We have a designer, so we are designed. We are God's workmanship. Ready for this? Created in Christ to do good works. Say good works. To do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, you and I are pre-planned miracles just waiting to happen. Now, King David set us up with that thought in Psalm 139. I love this. You know what David said? Paul said we're God's workmanship. David made it even more colorful in his picture of this thought. He said, God knit me in my mother's womb. Did you know God does knitting? He knits babies. And as he's knitting, in fact, it's a magnificent picture, because if you've ever seen DNA, it looks like something's been knit. He knits gifts and temperament and talent and personality. Put it all in there. Amazing. See, we're God's workmanship. But that's not the end of it. Created in Christ to do good works. You see, those gifts and talents and temperaments and all that stuff that he put into you and I, it's not just for us. It's for our generation. It's for those around us. It's for planet Earth. It's for his glory to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. And when I start to know those things, all of a sudden a lot of things make sense. See, it makes sense when I was in primary school and the teacher came in and said, the headmaster's leaving next week and I need a boy or a girl that will speak on behalf of the school. I'll do it. Every other kid in the class went, ooh. But even as a little kid, I was happy to speak publicly because I'd been knit. He'd put that stuff in me. I was born to talk. I was born to do that. We need someone to do the lead role in the Christmas play. Yeah, that's me. I'm the man. I was born for that. Now other people were born to do all sorts of other things. I really, really wanted to be a power lifter. And I was doing really good till I was kidnapped by Jenny Craig. But I'm not born for that. God knit me in my mother's womb and he put this stuff in. David went on further, and it's an awesome thought in Psalm 139. Listen to what he says in the next verse, verse 14. I will praise you, O God. Now, some of us need to get a hold on this. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He went on and said, marvelous are your works, and my soul knows. Very well. I'm actually emotionally, my soul My emotions are together because I know that I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what? Some of us need to actually get up tomorrow morning, get in front of the mirror, with a towel on, of course, and say, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not too tall, you're not too short, you're not too fair, you're not too dark. You have been knit in your mother's womb. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous. Marvelous are your works. If you believe that, your soul will come good. My soul knows very well. Oh, I tell you. Hey, listen. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You didn't happen. You were made. You were made. You were made. You were designed. You know, no one else has got your thumbprint. Now, if you're an identical twin, they may have something that's almost exactly the same, but they won't have the same tongue print. Serious. There is so much about you that is absolutely, totally unique. Fearfully and wonderfully made. So how do I know what I was made for? How do I discover the call of God on my life? How do I discover that eternal dimension? Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. As I get closer to God, I get closer to understanding what I could do in my life for Him. Desires. We're not going to take a lot of time tonight, but I actually, at the end of this conference, which has all been about imagine. I want you tonight to just take a moment to imagine what you really could do with the rest of your life. You get one walk on this planet, folks. You're not coming back. You're not coming back as a butterfly or a hippo. You're not. This is it. So let's maximize it in Jesus' name. Let me give you four thoughts about what desire will do for you. Desire. Just before we do that, just stop. What do you really want to do with the rest of your life? No, really. Let me tell you what those desires will do for you. Number one, it will generate forward momentum in your life. Forward momentum. Hear David again. Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Desire beckons you from where you are to where you could be. One thing have I desired, and that I will seek after. Desire causes me to seek after. Desire moves me from where I am to where I could be. I seek after it. Once I ignite desire, I identify, then I ignite desire. I can no longer stay stationary. I'm no longer happy just to go through life on the treadmill week in, week out where nothing changes. Something in me says, I've got to keep moving forward. I've got to seek after this. I'll do whatever I need to pursue those desires in my life. I will get trained. I will invest. I will change because I'm seeking after it. I remember a family that was part of our first church that Lynn and I passed in. It was in reaching out particularly into the housing commission areas of the western suburbs of Brisbane, in and around the city of Ipswich. And I remember this family that was just a whole bunch of people, lovely people, but they were third generation welfare recipients. And they were good people, but no one worked. No one ever got jobs. And then, you know, when they had children, they didn't get jobs, and their children didn't seem to get jobs, and they were just nice people that sat around watching midday television. But amongst the family, there was one girl, And you can see a glint in her eye. And she says, I am not going to stay like this. She got herself an education. She got herself ready. She pursued after things. She was hungry to break the cycle that had their family locked and stuck. She went after it. She got herself a degree. She got herself a master's. She got herself all sorts of other levels of accreditation. Today, she is a key player in the education department in the state in which I live. See, desire says, I'm going to break out. I am not prepared to stay where I am. And now she's married to a guy who's quite influential, and their children, and you see them down the street, and you can just see the favor of God all over their life. That didn't just happen. Something sparked out of desire. And she went after it. Listen to what Michelangelo said. The great danger for all of us is not that we aim too high and miss it, but that we aim too low and reach it. What happens in your heart when your pastor stands up here and begins to read those things? Just imagine, just imagine. I hope there's some people in this house that says, you know what? We can be part of that house. I'm willing to invest. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to sow. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to do whatever it needs to take because that's my desire. Oh, I hope it's not, this room's not filled with people that said, you silly, excitable Dutchman. That's just hype. It's not. It's vision. It's desire. It's God-given imagination. And you know what? It will take you as a people from where you are to where you could be if people will simply be prepared to unlock their desires. Any great pursuit, whether it's climbing a mountain, taking a city, or healing a marriage, starts with desire. Desire. The second thing that desire will do for you is release passion. It will release passion. Somebody once said, if people don't know what your passion is, you probably haven't got one. I reckon that's one of the great ills of the modern church. There's just not enough passionate people. I meet people, this is their testimony. Before I came to Jesus, I was wicked and boring. And I just thank God that I'm not wicked anymore. I tell people in our church, if your testimony is like that, please, don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Because you make my job really hard. Can't come to Jesus and be like me. No thanks, I got a life. Let me tell you something, friends. I honestly believe that the Christian population is supposed to be the most excited, excitable, radical, revved up group in town. Bible tells me in James that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man achieves much. Do you know what that effective, fervent means? Red hot and glowing. What? Yeah. See, when you unlock desire, passion happens. I listened to Nick reading that tonight. Man, he was sweating, he was spitting, veins were popping, and I'm going, yes, I can get on board with that. When Martin Luther King got up with veins popping and fists clenched, he said, I have a dream. He mobilized a generation. And within just a couple of decades, he had completely changed mindsets to the point where some of the most influential people in his nation, in other nations, now are no longer appointed because of the color of their skin, but because of the quality of their character. It's amazing. All because somebody didn't stand up and say, you know what? Got a bit of a suggestion. No, no, no. He was passion. Hear me. Passionate people move the masses. Hey, Dad, you want to have an excited family? Get passionate about some things. I go to my kids' games. I remember being one day at one of my boys' cross countries, and I'm on the sideline, and he's running past, and I'm thinking, man, this kid's doing better than I thought he would. And I'm saying, go, mate, go, just two more, you can mow him down, go. And he runs past, he says, Dad, would you shut up? I said, no, I will not shut up. A year or so ago, a hockey association, big rep association, asked me, they said, would you be the manager of this big rep team? I said, oh. I said, look, I'd love to. It's just I've got to have a look whether or not I can actually give up a weekend because it's going to be a played over a whole weekend. I said, if I can and I'm not away, I'll be prepared to give up a weekend. I said, why do you want me? I'd never even played hockey. They said, we know that. But the team is never the same when you're not around. Oh, I'm there. Oh, I'm loud. I'm encouraging the team. I'm even helping the umpire improve his performance. It's my job. I'm passionate. Come on, church. You know, hey, I tell you, when King David brought the ark to his city, you know what the Bible says? He was dancing before the Lord with all his might. He was excited. Here's what the people needed. He was bringing the tangible presence of God to his city. You know what? He stripped down to his undies and he was just going for it. And his wife looked out a window. It was a narrow window because she was a narrow-minded woman. And she said, that's disgusting. You know, I've made a choice in life to not be intimidated by the people that don't know how to celebrate and don't know how to enjoy life and haven't given themselves permission to get passionate about anything. I look tonight at young men and women out here just dancing before God. You keep going for it. You keep burning for Jesus. You keep being red hot for God. You see, our desire is to see the mighty move of God through this city, this nation, and beyond, and we will not stop. His son Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. When you find something that you've got that's part of your desire, you know what? Something in you just says, I'm going to give it 110%. I was at a shopping center. I might have even told you this story because this woman really affected me. A few years ago now, and I was speaking at a conference, and we had a little break in the schedule during the afternoon, and we went down to a shopping center, and my wife was at a health food store. It was just Lynn and I and my youngest son. And we're looking at vitamin A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and L. And I was bored stiff. And I said to my boy, I said, hey, Rye, want to come for a walk? He said, where are we going, Dad? I said, we're going to go and get some health supplements of our own. He knew the glint in his dad's eye. He said, I'm with you. We went down to a muffin store. I said, the lady, could we have two muffins, please? She said, what sort? I said, well, what's good? She looked at me, she said, what's good? What's good? They're all good. I said, like, tell me about them. She got on this roll. She said, well, there's strawberries and cream, there's mango, there's pineapple, she said, you're going to like this one, double choc. I said, tell me about it. She said, it's amazing. We had coconut, we had caramel, and she said, we've got vegetarian, said, keep moving. I said, you know what, I reckon we're going to have two double choc. She said, good choice, good choice. She said, would you like them warmed? I said, what do you think? She said, I would. I said, okay. She said, are you having them here? I said, no, we're going to have to eat them around behind the post over there, so put them in a bag. I said, could we get a couple of drinks? She recommended some healthy drink, and we grabbed that. She brought it back. She brought the two bags back. She said, feel under there. Tell me if they're warm enough. I felt underneath. I said, seems good to me. We paid the money. She said, you are going to enjoy those muffins. We paid it. We walked away. As we walk away, my boy was about 11 or 12. He looked at me and goes, hey, Dad. She's really passionate about those muffins, isn't she? I said, yeah. Then this is what he said to me. We'll probably come back here someday, huh? I thought, yes. I wonder If we are as excited about our faith and our church and our Jesus as that dear lady was about her muffins, I wonder if there's something infectious and passionate. See, passion's more infectious than the mumps. You get around a passionate person. I get around passionate people, and all of a sudden I find myself interested in something I've never even thought about. Passion. The third thing, come with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin to wrap this up. But the third thing that desire will do for you, in Hebrews chapter 11, a well-known verse, desire unlocks faith to believe for great things. It unlocks faith. We know that verse very well, don't we? Hebrews chapter 11, first verse says, now faith is the substance. Say substance. See, it's substance. In other words, it's foundational. It has foundation to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is desire. Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. See, faith has substance. It's based on desire that is internal. It's invisible. Here's the deal. Faith sees the invisible. Einstein put it this way. You can't achieve what you can't imagine. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, can I tell you something? I'm believing for stuff that's big that you can't see. Right now, it's a mix of desire and hope. But it's kind of the embryo of this gift of faith for something significant for God. It's on the inside. You can't see it. And because you can't see it, you mightn't even believe it's there. But it's real to me. One of my boys had invisible friends when he was 3 or 4. How many people had invisible friends? They say really intelligent people have invisible friends. How many people had invisible friends? A growing number. He used to have this friend in particular called Speedy Rock. I don't get it, but Speedy Rock was amazing. He actually made Superman look like a complete wimp. There was nothing Speedy Rock couldn't do. And Speedy Rock became a very significant member of our family. In fact, he'd have meals, he'd come on holidays, trips, etc., 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 and was around for a long, long time. One day, we're sitting at a meal, and I just said to him, Ryan, I've noticed, I haven't heard about Speedy Rock lately. What's the deal? And he looks at me. He's got big cheeks and blue eyes. He looks at me, he said, Dad, Speedy Rock is dead. I said, really? What happened? He said, my brother said he wasn't real. You see, power of life and death is in the tongue. And something died. Something died. It was real to somebody on the inside, and because they allowed someone to speak into it, that invisible thing died and, well, no longer part of our family. Just gone. Real to him, not real to somebody else. And that's why I've learned to be very careful and cautious with stuff that's real to me that you can't see. I don't tell everybody. Because I've got to allow this thing to grow and grow and grow and grow in me until it literally becomes this powerful force of faith. See, I'm incubating things internally at the moment. When I went to the inner city of Brisbane, into one of the roughest suburbs in our town, high crime rate, all sorts of problems on every part of that community, there was a little glint in my eye. People laughed at me when I began to talk about a powerful church, an extravagant church, a God-honoring church, an expansive church. They just laughed at me. So we just hid those desires. But you know what? Here's what I found with desire. It's like a pregnancy. There just comes a point in time when everybody begins to notice you really are carrying something. Desire. Desire unlocks faith for great things. Peter's sitting in a boat with the other disciples and he sees something, a form. It looks human, walking on water. And he looks and he says, Jesus, is that you? He said, it is. He said, well, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And he gets out, and I've heard too many messages on this that major on the fact that Peter fell over. Can we just pause for a minute? A human being walked on water. Why? Why? Because he wanted to. It's as deep as that. He got out, and you've heard those messages that he got out and he walked on water and the wind blew and the waves came and all that sort of stuff. And he took his eyes off Jesus. And then the message kind of goes like this. And Jesus lovingly picked him up and carried him to the boat. I've got a question. Where's that in the Bible? It's not even in the Amplified. I actually got my doubts that Jesus would have carried a grown fisherman back to the boat to plonk him down beside Thomas. Have a little fall, did we? I reckon Jesus would have helped him get the salt out of his eyes, picked him up, said, you ready? Let's go. Let's go. You wanted to walk on water? Let's do it, Pete. Walks back, sits in the boat, and Thomas is waiting for him, cracking, laughing. Wanted to major on his fall. Can you hear Peter go? Yeah, I had a fall. I did. I had a fall. But I walked on water, Tommy. When was the last time you did? Desire. And here's the last thought. Last part of chapter 11. Desire will spark courage. Courage. A courage that comes from that faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Courage will be the fruit of that faith. It means you're able to withstand pain and adversity and problems and opposition. Courage causes people to do amazing things in secular history. Phenomenal. I was reading just last week in, I think it was Time magazine, the story as at Nelson Mandela's 90th birthday. I've stood in front of his cell on Robben Island and been so inspired. Courage. 27 years. Because he had desire to see a difference in his nation. Courage. Men and women, all sorts of men and women. I've read stories of a man called Eric Weinmeier who in May 2001 became the first blind man to reach the top of the summit of Mount Everest. You know, 90% of people that try that never make it. Scores, if now not hundreds of people have died trying. Time Warner sent a group of people to go and interview him and ask him, why could you, a man without sight, make what most people with all their faculties can't achieve? Before he could answer the question, his offsider said, I'll tell you what it is. It's the man's spirit. He so wants this, he won't give up. And when you get around him, you can't either. Desire. Are you in Hebrews chapter 11? Listen to what it says in verse 33 of Hebrews 11. He's listed a whole lot of people that had desire. Desire that formed faith. Faith which unlocked courage. This is what he said. He said, some of them through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Whoa. And women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in half, tempted, slain, and sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, and were destitute, afflicted and tormented. Yet the world was not worthy of them. They did not give up pursuing a God-given desire. Let me tell you something. When desire is strong in your life, there's no opposition great enough to stop you pursuing. Come on, music team, come and join me on stage. Tonight I want to talk to you. A great theme over this whole weekend. Imagine. What can you imagine? Does something rise in your heart as Pastor Nick stands before you and talks about a phenomenal church being raised up to the glory of God? As you stand and you begin to think about the years ahead of you, and I repeat, I'm telling you, I want you to get this into your heart. Time goes really, really, really quick. What are they going to put on your tombstone? I've already ordered mine. Told you I was sick. Seriously. If your life can be summarized in just a few words, will it reflect desire or a resignation to the inevitable? Life's just this already pre-planned puzzle, and I'm just this pawn that's just got to flow along with the tide. No, 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 no. You, my friend, have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works. He prepared in advance for you to do them. He's got you. He's got his plans. And the way to join you to the plans is for you to follow desire. I know what I want to do with the next 30 years of my life. I'm absolutely committed to it. Absolutely, come hell or high water. That's what I'm going to invest the rest of my life in. What about you? Would you stand with me? Why don't we sing this song? Why don't we worship Jesus? He's worthy. We're going to close this service in just a few minutes, and I know people have got all sorts of things to get back to in life. We probably don't need any more smoke. Thank you, team. We're going to worship him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Some of us just need to just have this moment of just allowing yourself to express extravagant love for Jesus. Some of us need to actually just take the radical step. We don't do it too often, but getting our hands up, worshiping him. Closing the environment out, closing our eyes, opening our heart, and just letting something from here rise to him. Delight in him. For some of us, a dream for a future, breaking off the treadmill and getting out of the grind of life, it's an abstract concept. Friends, can I call you back to where it all starts? Just delight in him. As you come close to him, you begin to pick up his heartbeat. You begin to catch his interest in you. I tell you what, once you get that, some things start to come alive again. So let's delight in him. Let's sing this love song to Jesus. Come on. We love you, we love you, we love you. Delight yourself in the Lord. Here's some homework. Take time out every day over this next 7 days to just enjoy Jesus. Just sit in his presence as you would with a lover. It's amazing when you come close to him, you begin to hear his whispers into your own heart. You'll not only hear of his love for you, you'll hear of his plans for you. Delight in him, he'll give you desires. There are some people in this room tonight, let every head bow for a minute. Some of us have got a speedy rock we don't want others to know about because it gets a bit embarrassing and people may laugh at us and say it's not real and it's not something for somebody like you. But somehow deep down you just know that you know that you know. God's put something on the inside. And you're going to cast aside excuses, and you're going to not allow limitations to speak louder than God into your life. You're saying, God, one thing I desire, you've put it there, and I'm going to seek after it. And whatever the cost, and however long the journey, I'm going to move forward. And I'm talking to people, some people, even mature age, know that you should go to university because there's something inside you that's been sitting there since you're a teenager. There's ministries, there's expressions, there's all sorts of things that are deep down. And tonight you just want to stand before your God, the one who made you, the one who has a pre-planned, incredibly exciting future for you. And he's illuminating it again through the power of desire. He's going to say, God, I think I know what it is. Just raise your hand. God, I know what that is. I'm going to go after it. For my family, my career, in my ministry. Just raise your hand to heaven. In fact, raise both hands and lift your life up as a God, I give it to you. What you're saying is, like the old hymn writer, take my life and let it be. God, consecrate it, Lord, to thee. Here it is. And with a whisper that just is audible only to you and your God, just tell him what it is. Just, God, this is what it is. Young men and women I see all around this room, just say, I'm going to make my life count. Hands raised. Just whisper to him what it is. Whisper to him. I now pray the grace of God upon you. That desire might become decision, and decision might become discipline, and discipline might unlock destiny. And I pray the Holy Spirit would be your encouragement, and the ear of your inner man would be alive to his direction and speaking into your own life. And I pray there would come a strength from heaven into your own life. Because you know you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know that without God it's impossible, but with God nothing's impossible. And that dream, that vision, that revelation, that desire, pray it would come forth in your generation. Pray that God would so help you become that person that would so impact your generation that God would be glorified. In Jesus' name. Raise your hands right up to heaven saying, God, I'm committing myself to that. I step under your grace. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God. I know there's going to be a price in this. I know this could cost me my life. It's certainly going to cost me finances. It's going to cost me time. I will invest energy. I will invest of myself in this. This is not, there's no shortcut to this, but God, I'm willing. You put it there. And so, God, if you put it in my heart, you're going to be with me every step of this journey. I'm going to seek after it. I'm going to seek after it. Begin to praise him right now. Just begin to thank him. Come on, sing this song. Let's worship God. Let's just let those things get laminated in your own heart for a minute. Desire. I'm going to seek after this, Jesus. Come on, fill this place with praise. God's doing a thing. Some people tonight is a landmark night in your life because you've made that decision. You've identified it, and you will seek after. You will seek after. Come on, let's worship him. One more group we're going to pray for, and we're all done. Come on, let's praise him. Let me pray for another group of people. I want every person in this room to right now be praying for people that came in and they couldn't quite fully identify their desire, but something inside them said, you know what? I'm looking for life. I'm looking for something more than I'm experiencing. There's something on the inside of me that's missing. You know what you were looking for? You were desiring a friendship, a relationship with God. And I'm so glad that you're tonight part of a church and you're here amongst a group of people that haven't said, you know what, you've got to do this and this and this and this and this. And if you really try really, really hard, then one day you can know God. Because, see, this Jesus we're talking about and celebrating in this place, he's the one that's made it possible. You don't have to do anything. He's done it all. And through him, the doorway to God swings wide open. He's done everything except one thing. He's given you a free will. You've identified a desire to know God and get right with God. But you know what he won't do? He won't make decisions for you. And there's people in this room. Listen, your friend brought you, family members cared enough about you to bring you to this moment. A moment like this right now. That you have to make a choice. And there will be people in this room that are ready to make that choice. It's been your desire. You want to know God. Not know about him. You actually want to have a friendship and a relationship with him. When you go through issues in life. And can I tell you this? Christians go through issues. They have problems and challenges. Many of you in this church know the challenges that little grandchild, Pastor Nick and Karen, you know, my church in both services are praying for your family right now. But you know the difference between when a Christian goes through a problem and somebody who's not a Christian? Quite simply, when a Christian goes through a problem, they've got somebody bigger than them to stand with them and go through it with them. Bigger than them and bigger than their problem. A miracle-working, powerful God. You know what? There's people in this room that says, you know, that's my desire. I want to know God. Come on, let's pray for people across this room. People cared enough about you to ring you up, pick you up, bring you in tonight. God cared enough about you to be speaking to you right through this meeting. And probably long before this meeting even started. And you're ready right now. You say, pray for me. That's my desire. I want to know God. I want to connect with him. I don't know everything about God, Wayne, but one thing I do know is I need him, so pray for me. It's as simple as that. You want to say, yeah, that's me. Just raise your hand straight up. Say, I'm ready. That's what I want. I want a friendship with God. How many need to raise their hand right now and say, yeah, that's me? Raise your hand up and look at me. If that's you, raising your hand. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. There are people doing that. How many others? Just say, yeah, include me in that prayer. Just raise your hand up one more time. I'm going to give you an opportunity. That's cool. Wonderful. Thank you over there on my left. That's really good. How many others? There's a number of people doing that. Would you place your hand on your heart? I might not have seen your hand, but God did. And people have done that, and tonight I simply want to pray for you that the reality of the love of God would bring life change within you. Would help you, would heal you and forgive you, and now empower you for the rest of your life to pursue after him and his best. And I pray you would know his mighty work within your life by the power of his Spirit from this night on, in Jesus' name.